I'm a journalist, and I grew up not in Pikesville, but in the Pikesville of Pittsburgh, which is known as Squirrel Hill. So I grew up with the name Rona Cobell in Squirrel Hill, and I look like I do, and so if anyone met me, they just assumed I was Jewish, and it was not very interesting because most people were Jewish. And so our family was pretty conservative, and we went to synagogue, and we kept kosher, and we had a pretty normal, sort of more religious than I would sort of go for now, but pretty normal Jewish life. And I decided I wanted to be a journalist, so I moved to Washington, D.C., and I decided I didn't really want to be a journalist in Washington, D.C. anymore, so I got a job in a town called St. Joseph, Missouri. St. Joseph, Missouri is known as the town where the Pony Express started and where Jesse James died. So pretty much famous for an outlaw and a failed business. Not a very large Jewish community, but they did have two tiny synagogues, which would not merge because they wouldn't get along. And they had a rabbi who had the Jewish study group at a diner, and we all ordered milkshakes. And so the men of St. Joseph were very excited that a 24-year-old Jewish woman was coming to town. And this is because the men of St. Joseph had an average age of about 80. So I was a very popular date escort, maybe you might say, at the Rotary Club and the cafeteria. The chocolate pudding was really good at the cafeteria. And when I would go to the supermarket, when I would go out and about, you know, people would look at me, and they'd always want to know, where are you from? And at first I would just say, you know, I'm from Pittsburgh. But then they go, no, where are you from? You've got really odd skin. Or, you know, how did you get such dark hair? And are you Brazilian? Greek? No, I'm just... So I started to tell people, you know, well, my mother was born in England and raised in Montreal, and her family is from Poland, and my father's family came from Russia, and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, they'd all think, wow, that's pretty exotic. Where'd me? It was like everybody I knew had that same pedigree. One of the men that used to take me out to lunch, and by the way, I didn't make hardly any money, so if anyone wanted to take me out to lunch, even at the senior center, I was game. So this one guy, Mr. Ted, used to like to take me out to lunch a lot, and he was about 80, and his son was like maybe 40, and at one point his son said to us, you know, this doesn't really look good, like you shouldn't be going out so much with my father. And I said, why, because I'm young? He's like, hell no, that's not a problem, but you're a reporter, it's bad for business, you know. So anyway, this was all, you know, kind of good fun, but there was a guy who was closer to my age who I really liked. He worked at the newspaper, and he kind of moonlighted doing sports scores, and he was a baseball coach. That was his regular job. And so he never talked to anyone, but he would sometimes talk to me. And so the night editor said, you know, I think he likes you because he never talks to anyone but you. And so one night he asked me, where are you from? And I said, well, you know, my mom was born in England, and then she lived in Montreal. And then I went through this whole thing, and then I said, well, where are you from? And he said, Elwood. I said, where's Elwood? He's like, over there, you know? Elwood is basically a town with like 5 trailers and 3 houses in Kansas. So that kind of tells you like where we were on different planes. So things were moving very slowly because he didn't talk much, and and I talk a lot. And so one night we were all out at a club, and I was with my friend Karen, who worked at the TV station, and he was with his friends, and he was really drunk. And I said to my friend Karen, who's like a very petite TV reporter, because TV reporters, I think, sign a contract. They're not allowed to gain any weight. So if you're like above 110 pounds, they fire you. Anyway, she was this tiny woman. I say to her, I think I'm going to take him home tonight. Will you help me? And so we pick up this 6'2" baseball player, and we sort of crumple him into my Bonneville. And I take him home, and I put him on the couch, and I drive her back to her car, and I think, this is so fantastic because I've been cooking, you know, for a couple weeks. My friends in D.C. when I left had given me this Jewish cookbook of the world. And so I've been making these different dishes, and I just made one of my favorites, which is like a Moroccan chicken tangine with slow-cooked apples and cinnamon and brown rice. It takes like 3 hours to make. I've never even made it at home for my family. But I made it, and I think, oh, well, he's going to wake up, and I'm going to give him a glass of water and this Moroccan chicken, and he's going to think, I really like this woman. She's a kick-ass police reporter, and she can cook. So I present the bowl of Moroccan chicken with apples and rice, and he takes a bite, and he says, you know what this needs? And I'm thinking, nothing. It's perfect, right? And he says, barbecue sauce. barbecue sauce, right? Well, I'm probably the only woman in Northwest Missouri and Northeast Kansas who doesn't have any barbecue sauce. So I have ketchup. So he puts ketchup on my Moroccan chicken tangine. I probably should have broken up with him that night, but we ended up dating for another year. So, and my lovely husband, I hope, doesn't mind me telling this story. There's no comparison, really. But anyway, it became my, I'm not going to say people were anti-Semitic in St. Joseph, Missouri, but it was just that there just weren't that many Jews. And when you're a reporter, you don't necessarily want people to know you're Jewish because it creates this distance when you're different. You want to try to focus on what's similar so you can get people to talk. And when you're a police reporter who hasn't committed any crimes, it's a little bit difficult to find commonality. But I tried my best. And so one night, there was kind of a hush over the newsroom because there had been a cross burning in the neighboring town. And we covered this. And then the next day, they identified the suspects, and it turns out that I knew one of them because he was a fixture at the courthouse, and I was at the courthouse often, too, doing my reporting. And I kind of noticed him because he looks a little like Mel Gibson, and he noticed me because I was always there. And so we started writing these stories, and from jail, he called me. And we developed this, I don't know what else to call it, but a relationship where he would call me from the jail and we would talk. And eventually he confessed to me. So I wrote the story. And then the judges, you know, the prosecutors subpoenaed me. And it became this whole thing. And then I became the story. And then one time I was leaving the courthouse after they had a big fight over whether I would testify or not. And the national TV reporters, which I think we can attest from this week in Baltimore, are pretty obnoxious. But they were sitting there with a microphone in my face. Miss Cobell, what is the nature of your relationship with the suspect? And I just didn't want to deal with it. And my editor said, you know what? Do you think maybe you need to tell him that you're Jewish? And I said, well, you know, at what point do you disclose to a cross burner that you're covering that you're Jewish? Like, is that relevant? I don't know. I figured I wouldn't tell him, and gosh, I hope they don't get this dupe in prison because, well, now he'll know. So another time that my religion became relevant was I covered another story, which was a real tragic story of a woman who was killed in a robbery at a convenience store. And she was a grandmother, such a nice lady that she actually had a three-legged dog, which I went to see at her house when I met her husband. And the convenience store was supposed to be taping. They have like a law that you're supposed to tape for 24 hours. We've seen what happens with video surveillance this week. Sometimes it is going and sometimes it isn't. But this convenience store apparently wasn't taping and they were supposed to tape. So I diligently wrote my stories about how they didn't tape and they were supposed to tape. And the Convenience Store Association of Northwest Missouri and Northeast Kansas got very upset about my stories. They didn't like it, and they were big advertisers of the paper. So my editor told me I had to go to their annual dinner and, like, make nice with them. Their annual dinner was at the nicest restaurant in St. Joseph, Missouri, which is called the Hoof and Horn. So you can probably guess what they serve. So I went to the Hoof and Horn and sat next to the president of the Northwest Missouri and Northeast Kansas Association of Convenience Store Owners. And they served this meal of a huge slab of pork. And I had sort of done the starter trafe. I'd eaten non-kosher chicken. I mean, I wasn't kosher, but like I had not been faced with a piece of meat so pink and so large and so in my face. So I ate the corn, and I ate the baked beans, and I sort of ate, but he was looking at me like, you got to eat the pork. So I ate some of it, and then I pretended to be really full, and I took it home, and, you know, my boyfriend was just so happy to have it, you know? It was like bringing home meat to a, I'm not going to say, but, you know, he was happy, and he ate it. And after about 12 months of living in St. Joseph, Missouri, I decided that it was time to start looking for a job, and I very quickly found another one, and I left. And there's a lot of things that I miss about small-town reporting and small-town life, but the one thing that I don't miss is here in Baltimore, nobody asks me where I'm from. Nobody thinks my skin color is odd. Nobody wants to know where my black hair came from. And nobody ever ever thinks I'm Brazilian. Thank you.